Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm John Ryan, your host. My co-host today is Hal Spielman, who is the author of Suddenly Solo. And with us is Dr. Michael Levine, who is a member of Advanced Urology Center of New York and a volunteer with Nurture LIJ. See, in the back of my head, I'm trying to say some sort of a sex expert or something. I'm getting all confused. Sure, I can't wait for the next 15 minutes to be over.
It goes with being urology. Why do you think these guys get into that? They want to improve their own sex life.
Okay, well, that's another show. At the break, we were talking, which is very important. I mean, with all the changes in insurance, and I'm a firm believer in telling people they have to be their own advocate. And some diseases you're not going to stop. You get cancer, you get cancer. It's unfortunate. And you can't, I mean, other than smoking, lung cancer. But some things can be addressed, prevented, or mitigated prior to their existence by pre-care, if that's a word.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. There's a genetic component to what we're predisposed to.
Right.
And you can control that to some extent, but to the large part, you can't. And then there's the part that you bring on yourself because of your lifestyle, your diet, your stress, and what have you. And that's why when you take people from an Eastern culture and transfer them into a Western culture, within one generation, they have the same disease frequency as those right. who have always lived yeah. in the West.
Right.
So it's environmental causes are probably more important than the genetic causes when we look at the diseases people are suffering from. So the art of wellness, preventative care, is really starting to gain traction in this country because people, because of the plans and because of the deductibles, co-insurances, and co-pays, are largely responsible for their own health care financially
mm-hmm.
up until the catastrophic level. And there's a huge interest in staying healthy today for financial reasons and because it really is the better way to live.
Right.
Does this mean we should go into the gym business?
Maybe. It's a great business because most people sign up and never show up.
Right, so. That's why.
Actually, I've noticed that I live in Port Washington, and I've noticed that there are now 4 new gym facilities that have opened within the last year. Small ones, and there is one very big one that's been there a long time. But all these have just sprung up,
yeah.
and they're there for a year now, so I assume that they're surviving somehow as a business.
But unfortunately, that's the same as diets in this country. And you said it, Michael. They buy the membership. They're making money. What is it? The Equinox? No. Whatever. There's one that's building right there on Jericho Turnpike. You're paying $150 a month, and you go once a month.
That's L.A.
L.A. That's L.A. Fitness. Yeah. Now, I've never been in it, but they say it's a phenomenal place.
It's a beautiful facility. Yeah.
But you're right. People don't show up consistently. Right. And the other right. piece of it is stuff you could do at home, yoga and meditation and different things like that just to reduce stress level. It's mindfulness.
Absolutely. As Weight Watchers found, the support group aspect is very important to continuing in a program.
Right.
So if you can do it with someone, maybe mm-hmm. your wife or your husband, that's a big help in having an ongoing program. And for a single person, having some kind of group connection
mm-hmm.
is very important to continue it.
Couldn't agree with you more. The community is very powerful.
Very
and
powerful.
If left to our own will and our own discipline, we often fail. And I think people have trouble just realizing this. They say, oh, I can do it on my own. I'm not going to get a buddy. I'm not going to join a support group. I'm not going to get into a class. Engagement matters. And,
right.
and that's where it really starts. And if you're engaged in a process where you know your friend is meeting you there, you don't want to disappoint him, or you start seeing results in yourself or in somebody you're working out with, it just breeds more success on your own part.
I agree. That's one of the benefits of Project Independence. There are so many community events that go on that you don't have to be alone. And somebody could pick you up. We have buses to pick you up because I agree with you. You know, people don't want to do anything individually. I mean, you know, you have the dedicated person that will
sure.
walk every day or jog, whatever they're going to do. But I'd say 80%, if you don't get the phone call, you say, well, I'll go tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
John, that's a very important point because we know in Project Independence that people are now living on their own and we try to support that with all the activities. But it is so important that they have some reach-out structure.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're going to sit there and do nothing. And the reach-out structure is key of having people that call and say, let's go to dinner or
right.
let's go for a walk or anything. Dogs are a very important part. Animals are a very important part in that of having a
pet. Let's not go there, Hal. please. We're talking enough with this human sexuality. I'm not going into dogs.
No, but I meant in terms of getting out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I meant, of picking yourself up and getting out there.
Right, okay. And, now we have three, I think, or four dog parks. Oh, again, right. For community.
Yeah, they're community activities.
It all matters. People with fish tanks tend to have lower blood pressure.
I mean, really?
It's been proven over and over again that these forms of engagement with other forms of life, and not to get too existential about mm-hmm. it really does matter.
That's a good one. That's very important. To have something that will force you beyond yourself.
Correct.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, from a senior perspective, you see it. People can't. Not that they can't cope with. Well, no, you can't cope with change. Some people have a very difficult time coping with change, and you can have a 100% fulfilled life, but it's not going to be what it was when you're 18. It's not going to be what it was when you're 45. It really makes no difference.
Right. And for singles, it's not going to be what it was when they were married.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a different life, and frequently they need help in restructuring their own life.
Right.
Right. In many ways, when you're younger, the world comes to you. You're engaged at work. You're engaged in your synagogue or your church. So there's a world around you that kind of reaches out to you. But as you age and as you're dealing with illness, maybe dealing with the loss of a spouse, you kind of retreat into loneliness. And because you're not feeling as well, maybe you put on some weight. Maybe your arthritis is acting up. Maybe you don't have the stamina. It's a lot easier to stay home. And because you're not as engaged at work and in community, you just tend to be not forgotten, but just less engaged. Maybe your children moved away. And if you have children who are local, they're probably running around chasing after their own children. So they have maybe a Sunday afternoon for you. So you really need to force yourself to get out there and become a part of society and engage in these activities, because they're not really looking for you as much as you need to look for them as you age.
Well, actually, when you look at that, people who had children, say, 25, 30 years ago, many of the women didn't work. So therefore, the grandparent, which was only in their 60s at the time, was very much a part of that life. And even if it was a solo person, they went to grandma a couple of days a week to help out. I mean, just today, you have so many people that have to move away because of jobs. You have to go where the money is, unfortunately. And two people are working. So you're right. The senior, the 65 or 70-year-old, is on their own. They're not going to have grandkids play with them.
For the 70-year-old who is still working, and there are more and more that are doing that, maybe in some part-time activity or in some do-good activity. That is so key because it expands your socialization opportunities.
Right.
So keeping active is, and a part of that is that it affects their, out of the social activity, their sexual activity.
Sure.
And now the formalization of you got to get married, that has dissipated in today's world.
Sure. It also helps their self-esteem. They feel responsible to somebody else and engaged in providing value. And it's been well known that when you feel better about yourself and how you look and how you behave, you do better sexually, socially. Yeah. If you're not engaged, you retreat.
I'll throw this in. But
good.
There's something very nice that both a man and a woman feel when he gives her a pat on the butt. I mean, there's a communication there.
Right.
That is a very warm, friendly communication. And, we can jest about it, but it does say something. It says to the woman, she's still attractive. She's still of interest. And I'm talking about a wife or a good friend.
Somebody you met on the subway?
And then the man feels good.
I'm confused about this now.
I must confess, I wasn't thinking of the subway. I was thinking of something a little more friendly.
But I do understand what you mean.
John, it's very hard to keep you in track there.
Well, that goes, it's the emotional part, what you're saying.
Yeah, but that's
really
the emotional part. And that's so, again, so important. I mean, it's almost like the fish story. The emotional connection gives you a reason to keep your body and your mind healthy and extends your life experience.
No, I agree. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have watched it. I've been watching Masters of Sex.
Masters and Johnson. Yeah, they brought the landmark studies on human sexuality back in the 50s or 60s, I believe.
60s, yeah.
And they were, I mean, Masters and Johnson, they were on the fringe and very bold people to say,
were they ever?
This is life and we're going to talk
about it.
And I'm sure everyone privately said, yeah, these guys are hitting on something, but I just can't agree with that socially. And now Masters and Johnsons would be the Bill Gates and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world if they were in their prime.
Really? Okay. Right. And that's the way it
that's
comes
a good
across.
Observation, yeah.
They were rejected at every turn. Because of what they were doing, and you just couldn't talk about it. Today, that's why some of the issues today, it's silly. I don't mean silly. It's unusual. I find it hard to believe because everything is talked about in TV shows. I mean, even the prime time, which children could be watching, have so many little double ententes in there. That
absolutely.
If you were getting married in the 40s, 1940s and 50s,
yeah.
You wouldn't know anything about sex. It was never discussed. There were no courses at school. You learned on the street. Maybe you learned, maybe you didn't.
Right, right.
But the naivety, particularly for women, because they were always a fear of pregnancy. And they had some good examples of that on that program, on Masters.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Yeah, actually, we're going to be running out of time. I did want to touch on paying attention to sexual diseases. Which I have read recently that, you know, AIDS has actually kicked up
in the senior population.
Yeah. Because they're not going to get pregnant. Yeah. But you still have to know your partner.
Right. I think that might be one of the unintended consequences of lowering the bar and having access to information, like Hal was saying, how people got married, didn't know anything. Now you can pick up your phone and learn more about sex than you can learn in a lifetime at the Kinsley Institute. So it's out there, and people, it's becoming more part of the social norm, but we have to be mindful of the diseases that that are out there and protect ourselves from it. And it all comes down to education and getting the right message out. And, you know, regulation, you know, people, no one likes regulation in banking and finance and all this, but maybe we need some regulation in what could be posted up so we get the smart message out there. Because, like, I have two 16-year-old boys. And I'm not naive to think that, and they all have smartphones, and I'm not naive to think that, you know, the filters I put in place aren't worked around so they could see what they may be seeing. Who knows? Right. I can only make assumptions, but it's a different world now. And we can't be lax in the consequences of these new behaviors.
That's the point. You're not going to stop a youngster.
Right.
Your job is to let them know the consequences.
Right.
That's all, potential consequences,
nothing more. Here again is the contrast in socialization and sexual activity. When you were in your teens and 20s, you were driven by hormones. When you're in your 70s, those are not there. There are very different issues that drive your desire to be coupled and to have intimacy. Of one kind or another.
It's a good point. 100%.
And Hal mentioned before about that communication, whether it be subtle, whether it be that furtive look between a couple, is very, very, very important. And as you age, those maybe less physical successes that you have as a couple become secondary to the emotional needs that you're fulfilling.
And I agree with that also 100%. At the end of the day, if you have emotional commitment to somebody, it's just as fulfilling as a physical activity when you're 25 years old. But we have to hop now. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio on here on 88.1 FM. I want to thank Dr. Michael Levine from Advanced Urology Center of New York for a great, great presentation. And we're definitely going to have you back again.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Mike. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.